I never saw anyone could say so much in such a short time as Brother Andrew Webb. Amen. I mean, he can give you lots of good things in just a little while. It's good to see everybody out the house of the Lord today. And I certainly enjoyed Brother Gabbard. Didn't you?
Yes,
we did. Brother Brent. I want you to know which one I'm talking about. All right.
Yeah.
So, amen. And just enjoyed the service. And I like to watch people play and sing, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And I was watching Brother LePage when he was playing that guitar. I thought, he's got a soft stroke on that.
Yeah.
I just listened, watched that, heard her singing, good singing. And so I enjoyed that. Amen. Glad to have met them. Someone that we'll look forward to seeing in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed Brother Prescott's preaching last night. I told my wife coming down to the church last night. I said, well, I hope that Sister Prescott gets to sing and testify a little bit. Amen.
Yeah.
And she did, so
yeah.
I was glad of that. That always helps the service, doesn't it? So. I know there's times, Brother Prescott, I've heard him when he felt obligated to just go ahead and preach. And I know that's the way it is, but I was kind of wanting that last night, so I got my wish anyway. So anyway, and then I got to church this morning and see Brother Jeff and Sister Butler with us and folks from down in Georgia. Amen. The great state of Georgia. Amen. Praise the Lord. Home of Jimmy Carter. I'm from Arkansas, home of Bill Clinton. I'll trade with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the evangelists that are here. Brother Jones is here with us, and Sister Jones and their daughter. And I'll tell you what, I became an admirer of his when I met him out in Oklahoma. I'd met him before, I'm sure, but out in Oklahoma. And I saw him packing up that little Sonic and evangelizing, driving around.
Yeah.
And I was praying about him getting a bigger, something like a Denali. Until the Lord kind of said, give him yours, and I quit praying about that. No, I'm kidding there.
God answered that prayer.
Oh, I sold it, so he quit praying about it. He said, okay, all right. And then Brother and Sister Dykes and their son here, full-time evangelists. Do we have any other full-time evangelists besides Brother Jones and Brother and Sister Dykes? Amen. We're thankful for them. We need them.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Really are. We're really thankful for our evangelists. And I'm not a pastor, but I'm not an evangelist. So I'm just somewhere in between. But we are thankful for them, and they're worthy of your support. And I admire the things that they go through with and sacrifice, you know, because they're not on Social Security. You know, amen. So they sacrificed to preach the gospel. All right, thanks for the offering. And brother, I just have to say this. Meredith said, now you notice Brother Prescott, he don't spend a lot of time just talking. Yeah, well. But I thought whenever Brother Gabbard got to that service and people got in there to worship, and you know, and he really got the hammer down. I've got something that just across the street from me that I love to hear. This fellow over there's got a nice newer Cadillac, and it's got pipes on it. And boy, when he starts that V8 up and he revs that motor up, that's music to my soul. And I thought Brent Gabbard's up there with the Cadillac going, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, if you ever come up and I'm talking to you and all of a sudden I stop, they've started that car when I'm listening. All right. 20th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. 20th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. And again, a wonderful service this morning. And just a little further while you're turning, I don't mind if the Lord interrupts and I don't get to preach. Because 99% of the time I'm not feeling secure about it. And I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to, the Lord will come by and help me. Amen. So, and I've preached a lot of day services. And some of these night services, these night preachers, they get two or three nights when the Lord just pays them to shut up, you know. And I like that once in a while if he does that for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. First verse, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. In other words, he said, whatever's right, I'll give you. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And you know back then that was a day's wages. That's a going wage. And when he first came, when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought the 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do as I will, even with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be the first, be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Could we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand in need of your anointing and your help. Dear God, would you be merciful, Lord, and not just for my sake, Lord, but your sheep are here, and they need to be fed. Lord, would you help us through the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost to feed the sheep. Help us to understand what you were saying here in the scriptures. Give us clarity of mind, Lord, and help us deliver that which you laid on our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if I'd have a text, but it might be, are you or will you be satisfied with your penny? That might be my text. I don't know how I'll work that in, but that's just all I can think of. But because the Bible said, likewise received every man his penny. And, you know, in those days, your labor was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you're working 12 hours a day. And 1 hour was all that man had to work, or those men had to work. And they got just as much as that. And we'll deal with that otherwise. But, you know, sometimes whenever we are labored for the Lord or anything else, sometimes we don't realize how good we've got it. We really don't. All right. These men that went to work early in the morning, that meant they were down there before 6 o'clock at the marketplace, hoping somebody would hire them. They were down there early. And I look at this and think about these people that got down there, and I believe God just put something in us that makes it good for us to be challenged, to work all day, to be able to work and do things. God didn't intend for us, Now, I don't mean it's harsh or anything. I had a son that was hurt, and so if you're hurt and you have to draw government support, I'm glad for you. Amen? But, we've got all kinds of shots and medications for allergies, every kind of allergies, but some people are allergic. They get sick when they smell their own sweat, and maybe they need a shot. I don't know. We get something for that. I don't know, but these people, evidently, by the fact they were down there early, they were not afraid to work. They were there for work. They wanted to work. The matter came later that kind of bothered them, but if they'd worked all day and everybody went to work at the same time and maybe just one or two come in a little late and worked, amen, if they'd worked all day, they'd have never complained because they appreciated the challenge. You remember what David said whenever he had sinned and he needed to offer a sacrifice and he went to Ornan and wanted to offer a sacrifice there at that threshing floor and he wanted to buy it. And Ornan offered to give it to him. And David said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the world, Lord my God, which cost me nothing. So it's not good for us to get something for nothing all the time. Brother Leon Buzzard told me that his people were very industrious out in there in Oklahoma. And they worked and what have you. And then the government started giving them checks and giving them money. And so they turned to booze and just laying around. And it destroyed, amen, the dignity and the self-sufficiency of that race. And so I feel like we need to realize that we need a challenge. We need that challenge. When you got saved, when you got out, when I got saved, I said, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll just be happy to do whatever you want me to do. Do you remember that? How you prayed? And so why aren't we satisfied with the challenge just living for him? I was thinking about this challenge, whenever I was working when I was a boy and worked for out in the hay fields and what have you. There was a challenge of keeping up with everybody else and trying to prove that I was just as tough as the next person. You understand that? And when I got saved, there was a challenge for me to live for God and not go back into the world. I know the world made a pull for us. But I accepted that early on that I'm going to have to live for God. Hallelujah. And I accepted that challenge and I was glad for it. I told you this before about the time when I was a meat cutter and one day was just nothing going. And I told the fellow I worked with, Charlie Dietrich, I said, Charlie, the next person that comes around, I'm going to sell him a roast. He said, now you know you're going to sell him a roast because I'm going to, I said. And so pretty soon this woman come in and she gets a shopping cart, and that's when you had your service case. You didn't have self-service. So I looked up at her, and I looked in my meat case, and I picked out a roast that was really nice, and you got that green paper. It made it look fresh, nice and fresh, so that makes that red meat look good, And so when that woman come around, she's shopping, I let her buy everything she wanted to buy at the counter, lunch meat, different things. I can't remember what else she bought, and I let her start to walk away, and when she started to walk, I said, hey, ma'am, just a minute. Say, ma'am, just a minute. She stopped looking. I reached in and pulled out that roast, and I said, this would really be nice for Sunday dinner. And she looked at it. Well, she said, no. I said, look. I said, you can put this in your oven, set the timer, and when you get home from church, I didn't know she went to church. I didn't know she had an oven that had a timer on it. I didn't know a thing about it. But I said, when you get home from church, you'll have that ready. You have potatoes and carrots around it. I said, wouldn't that be nice? She said, I believe I'll take it. Hallelujah. Old Charlie was dumbfounded. But you see, it was just the fact it was a dull day and I needed a challenge. I wanted something, amen, to make me see that I can do more than what I thought I could do. So whenever you get saved early on in life, There's a lot of things you're going to miss, but there's one thing you will have. You'll have a challenge to shine for Jesus for the rest of your life. I'm talking about these men that they never appreciated that like they should have, that they got saved early on and they met that challenge. And so when you're working in a vineyard, you know, we don't think about that, but I can remember them. I think about them looking back on it and thinking, you know, I had the challenge, but there was times of refreshing. Remember the Bible said Peter was preaching, he said, repent you therefore and be converted that sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Those that got in late, those that worked 1 hour, they didn't know what it's like to be working and sweating and tired, and all of a sudden here comes a vineyard owner out, and they've been taking those grapes that they're picking and they're crushing them out. They got that juice, and here they come with that fresh juice, and everybody, amen, takes time out, and you stop and drink that, and you just refresh. There's time to refresh it. And so we get, though, the Bible said you need to be saved now, because there are going to be times when refreshing will come to church. I know it won't come every time. I remember I went to the Leavenworth Assembly of God there in Leavenworth, Kansas, when I was in service. And Sister Shelton, a lot of times you'd be standing out there, you and your wife, I'd get off late, I'd just go for church, get there for church. And I remember standing out there holding Mary Beth, and she'd make announcements and announcements and announcements. And I've timed her, I would, 20 minutes, you know, and she's still making announcements, you know. You ever get that? Amen. And do this and do that. And we got a evangelist coming. And here's a list of what the evangelist wants. And his wife wants to eat. And we got to get him in a motel. And we got to raise money. And, you know, just on and on and on. And just get all those announcements. Well, that's kind of dull and dreary. I still don't like a lot of announcements. I don't know about you. But if I have to make them, I want to get them over just as quick as I can. And I'd stand there and listen. And finally, she'd get a break. I'd go in and sit down, and hopefully Brother Shelton would preach that morning because I was tired of her voice, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'd go in there. Well, that wasn't always the way it was, because Brother Bob, I can't tell you, it's Mac something, came to hold us that revival. You have to forgive me, that's 1957. But I remember in the revival, my brother-in-law from over in Kansas City, Charles, came over, and me and my sister, and we're sitting back there, and there's a couple of women sitting right in front of us, and our evangelist is preaching. He come down the aisle of preaching, and pretty soon he stopped and looked two women that were sitting right there in front of us, and he looked at one woman. He said, God told me to pray for you. What's wrong with you? And when I did, something happened to Charles. Charles didn't know anything about the church hardly at all. Didn't know nothing. But you know what he did? He hit the altar. Amen. That's times of refreshing. Hallelujah. So there's times in the labor in the vineyard when you have times of refreshing. Thank God for it. You may pray. You may seek God. And there's times whenever we have to follow and realize that the revival ain't come yet. And I remember Havis Crawford years ago said, don't you come in. If my people are under a burden for revival, amen, and the sheep are great with lamb, don't you come in and beat my sheep, amen, because that we aren't jumping and skipping around. We're in a burden. We're seeking God. We're revival, and I think we need to realize, amen, there may be times where there's that burden, there's a time of that load, but there's always that refreshing. Can I tell you, one soul in the altar praying through the salvation, and you'll be so happy. You'll be glad for your prayers. You'll be glad for your fasting. You'll be glad for driving that little Sonic down the road. You'll be glad for putting a transmission in that diesel. Amen. You'll just be glad because God sent a refreshing. Hallelujah. See, that's something people get saved late in life and don't know anything about. I'm glad for everybody saved, but I'm glad to know what times of refreshing are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mother's 7 years older than I was. He got saved under my preaching. Him and his wife, both, him and Ruth. I went to service. James is living up around Waynesville, Missouri, and working for Uncle Eli up there in Logwoods. And he was going there to church. James got hunger for the Holy Ghost. And James wanted to have to fast and pray. And he wrote us and said, pray or call us. I can't remember. I don't think we had a phone. Said, just pray. But I knew to pray. And he's praying. And you know what? James fasted for about a week and sought God. And the time of refreshing came. God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. Do you know, I think one reason why that we don't have more people in the Holy Ghost seeking the Holy Ghost, they don't feel challenged, amen, and they don't realize refreshing, and they think that they can get by with it without it. We've got good singing, we've got good preaching, we've got good services, and I'm feeling comfortable here. But I'm telling you, when you like me and my wife was, when I got saved, you're going to church and there's just a few old women in that church. You need that Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. And we saw it. We didn't think about, amen, just getting saved and not seeking the Holy Ghost. Why would the whole book of Acts be filled with people being filled with the Holy Ghost? And God wanting people filled with the Holy Ghost so bad that when Paul come and found 19, he didn't say, well, we've got 3,000 filled, we got 5,000 filled, we got so many, really don't know, need you. He said, everybody ought to have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel the same way today. I'd like to challenge you to seek for the old-fashioned outpouring. Amen. Tongue-talking as the Spirit gives utterance. That time refreshing. Amen. This is refreshing, the Bible said. This is the refreshing. I wish I could do this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have the challenge. Do you know, really, I'm backing up on this. But do you know that's what got Eve? It was a challenge. The devil put a challenge out there. You know, he put a challenge out there. She saw that tree. That is good for food. Desire to be wise. That challenge, amen. Be like God. And the devil got her by that challenge. That's what takes young people some down their own road. Did you know that? The challenge of being like the world. You've never tasted this before. You've never smoked this before. Amen. And on the child. If you want to be one of us, you got to have this. Amen. I'd rather go the other route, wouldn't you? As I said, I'm not preaching on this, but oh, I'd like to see the Pentecostal people, the wholeness people, one more time get hungry until they say, I'm going to seek God. Amen. Until I get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. I may wear everybody out. I may wear myself out. But oh, I'd like to tell you, it's worth seeking. It's worth seeking. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll never forget when I was at the old church, and I've told you before how that a lot of times on Thursday night, it'd be me and my wife and Sister Grace and Grandma Laster and Aunt Albie Day, and that'd be it. Amen. We'd have church. But that night at church, I was down praying, and something whispered and said, you'll get the blessing when you get home tonight. Hallelujah. And I went home, and so we had a little prayer around the couch. Amen. Didn't get anything. I said, can we pray again? And we didn't get anything. Amen. Prayed again. Now, Sister Barnett has got something about her. It's an automatic timer. When it comes time to go to sleep, amen, she shuts everything down. And so, finally, she said, I'm going to bed. Amen. So, I said, okay, I'm going to bed too. Amen. And so, I said, can we pray in here? She said, yeah, I prayed. And so, can we pray again? She said, yeah, I pray. Amen. About the third time we knelt down by the bed, she said, I'm really going to bed. Amen. So we got in the bed and I lay there and I was praying. And you know, the whole power of God to get on me, something would shake and I'd feel like saying something. But I said, no, that's the flesh. That's not the spirit. And then the word of the Lord came to me. Amen. If you ask fish, will he give you, amen, a scorpion, a serpent rather? Amen. A piece of bread, will he give you a stone? If you get evil, I said, God, if you'll give me that good gift, the next time I feel that power, the next time I feel that presence, amen, you know, we'll shake our hands, we'll stomp our feet, we'll do everything in the world, but when our tongue gets loose, amen, we'll shut her down, because that's getting in the flesh. How do you think it's going to get it? Amen. And pretty soon I said, Lord, here we go, sink or swim. If that comes on me again, I'm going to go right through to it. And I came true to the old-fashioned power and the blessings of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You talk about refreshing, refreshing when the Holy Ghost comes. Well, I need to go on. It just, I hate to tell people that. I know they get tired of hearing me. When I think about that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know, the one that made me hungry was my mama. When we was going to church, and nobody else had it but mama. Had a little Baptist church down in Pleasant Valley, Arkansas. But the power of God to get on mama, and she'd do a little pat of cake and dance in the spirit and speak in tongues. And those little old Baptist women, sometimes she'd shout out of the feet washing pan. Now, you all don't know what that is anymore, but we used to have that in the Baptist, you know. Then sometimes in Pentecost. Amen. But she'd shout out of that. She'd kick that pan out from under that curtain where it's up on the stage, you know, women wash their feet, men back here. And she'd come out around that curtain, dancing in the spirit, talking in tongues. Here the little Baptist women were just lined up like ducks behind her. They didn't know what was going on, but they liked what they felt. And just followed Sister Barnett. She's shouting around the place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you ever see the time your dad had tuberculosis and no healing, no help, him laying in bed dying, amen, and mama's out in the breast somewhere praying, and pretty soon you hear her coming out, and she's patting a cake, and she's talking in tongues, and she's dancing in the spirit out in that old bare yard, amen, just like she's around a mansion and around a great palatial estate, amen. Did you ever do that? Well, when you're a little boy, I mean, that does something to you. That does something to you. Amen. My sister called me one time. Amen. She goes to a large church. Several thousand go there. And they told her they could give her the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They said, all you got to do is say, da, 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 you know, and just tell her. They said, she said, Charles said, is that the way, mama? Is that really right? Is that how you get it? I said, Minnie, that's no way. Mama didn't get it like that. And you don't have to get it like that. There is a real old passion outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hope that the Pentecostal people don't get like the Methodist people, where sanctification was just a doctrine but not an experience.
Right.
Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, the reward of hard work, you're setting an example for those who are in your sphere, amen, of influence. Amen. That's a reward of it. You're setting an example. Hallelujah. My mother, well, I worked hard, and I don't go through all that because I've told you so many times I'm embarrassed. But, amen, she gave us an example. She gave us an example. Now, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'm not, as Brother Brent says, I'm not going to discuss this with you. I'm just going to use the scripture, okay? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray. Paul said, I'm praying. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that whole soul is our witness. You remember Mary said in the second chapter of Luke, I believe it was, my soul doth. Amen. Your whole soul, that's your witness. Your whole spirit is your worship. She said, my spirit hath. Amen. Your whole soul is horizontal. Spirit's perpendicular. Is that the word? Right? All right. Amen. And body, that's your will be sanctified. And when the Lord came to Mary and told her, she said, yes, I'll be the vessel that has that child. Paul said, I pray that your witness, your worship, and your will be sanctified. Is that all right? Hallelujah. And does God answer prayer? Next verse says, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Isn't that good? Can we get that to the bank?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now here's something. I want to go through with this, and I want you to turn. You got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians. I want to go to the 4th chapter. I want to read you something. Now here's what I'm talking about. The reward of hard work is you're setting an example for those in your sphere of influence. People that you're going to influence. Now listen to what the Bible says here. And I hope I've got the right correctory. Don't stop me, preachers, but meet me at the front door so I'm changing me if I'm wrong. Amen? Okay? But in this it says, and I will read there, verses 3 through 8. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now you realize that the Gentiles back then were very, it was a plague among them, fornication wise. You read of the different places where they go off and they'd capture these young girls that were slaves, make slaves out of them, and they'd make temple prostitutes out of them. And I remember reading one place, was it at Ephesus where they had that, or was it Corinth? They had that temple that had 1,000 prostitute priestesses. And so this was a part of their worship. This was a part of their worship. Now, he said that you abstain from fornication. Amen. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or the lust of lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God. See, you're talking about them. You're Gentiles, so I'm telling you, don't be like the rest of the bunch. That no man go beyond to defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth us despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. Now, I'm touching brother love. You're taught of God to love one another. That's the reason why, but here's what I want to go back on. I want just kind of walk with me through this and see if I've got this right. Now, I looked at it and I said, every man know how to possess his vessel. And I thought he's talking about himself. I thought that's what he's talking about. And then I got to read that no man go beyond and defraud his brother, that is, over or oppress or overreach his brother. I thought, well, now, if I'm taking care of my vessel, how can I oppress my own self? I thought there must be something to that. And then I saw in Peter, I said, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And I looked up and I looked at it and I said, is God telling those men, you be true to your wife? And if you do true, then you won't overreach your brother. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Be a one-woman man. Is that the way that's reading there?
Sure.
I backed up and looked at that. No man. And so it'd be the weaker vessel as being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I looked at it, I thought, now here is what he's talking about to me. If I am true to my wife, I am setting her apart, sanctifying her for myself.
Good, good.
Hallelujah.
Good.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
I'm sanctifying her as myself. All right? Then after I got to looking at that, I have another scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and I know you know all that, but I just bear with me a little while. In the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 12th and 14th verse, it says, through the 14th, but the rest speak I not the Lord, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Now, here's the catcher. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. In other words, that encourages that person to be true to you if you're true to them. It don't always work, but there's something else that goes with that. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Not only influences your wife, it influences your children to holy lives. You see what I mean? It sets them apart. God honors people. It honors people. When God told Abraham he was going to have a son, he said, oh, that Israel might stand before thee. He said, I'll make a great nation out of him. And he did. See what I mean? He did it because Abraham was a good man. But here I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, how wonderful it is to realize, amen, that being true to my wife is not true to me, so my children can see that I've been honest in my relationship. And it encouraged, just like my mother encouraged me, amen, when she worked. And she was not a bad-looking woman. She was a good-looking woman. Amen. When she worked and just lived the hardest of lives, Amen. She didn't abandon her five children, and she didn't abandon the other five that she had. But my father, amen, I don't think it's five of us that to be up. Yeah, no, just four. Amen. She didn't abandon us. She'd had others, but they were dead. Amen. She could possibly, there would have been somebody, amen, have been glad to take her and give her maybe a better life. But she chose in their hardness as a good soldier because she wanted her children to be saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me read you one more scripture. And I, like I said, I've looked at this and I'm looking, look at this. In Malachi, the second chapter. 13th verse, this ye have done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it goodwill at your hand. Now he's talking to the priest. He's talking to the preachers, is who he's talking to right here. He's talking to the preachers, and he said, what you're doing, you're playing the preacher, but I can't hear what you're doing for your wife crying. Huh? Right. Amen. I can't see your good works for her tears. And he said, yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? And I want you to listen, that he might seek a godly seed. Hallelujah. They say that means a seed of God. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. What I'm trying to say is, young people, young married people, what have you, amen, you may do something, you may find forgiveness, but you may lose your children in the whole affair, you know. Don't you think it's worth, when we're out there sweating in God's vineyard, don't you think it's worthwhile, amen, to realize I've got people under my sphere of influence, my children, what have you. I want to live right before them, huh? Hallelujah. I want to be honest, amen. And if you failed in this, there is forgiveness. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply talking about those that have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Amen. They came up against things that looked bad, but they said, no matter what, it's not if they will, it's I will. It's I will because I'm willing, amen, to realize that I've got others going to be watching me and seeing where I'm at in God. That ain't good, is it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's Barzillai, that man that helped David when he was fleeing from Absalom. And David wanted Absalom, or wanted Barzillai to go and live with him in his palace. Barzillai said, look, I'm 80 years old, and I've lost my taste for food and drink. More than that, I can't hear the singing of men and women. Now, you may not understand that, but I'm 83. Amen. I can understand singing good up here, and I understand, but sometimes singing gets together and the noise and there's business going on around me. I can't separate the words, and I like to hear words. Amen. I love the beat. I love everything else, but give me words when you're singing. I want to hear what you're saying. Amen. Brazil, I said, I can't do that. But he said, I'll tell you what, I've got a son, and I'd like you to take him if you would. I'm too old for this. I can't stand all this. I just can't. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I've got a son, Chimham. Would you mind taking him? And David said, I will. And when David come down to die, he started talking to Solomon, and he said, show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite. In other words, amen, that old man lived in such a way, his sphere of influence reached out, amen, to such a way that the king said, I'll watch over his sons. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, amen, I've been serving the Lord ever since I was about 21 years old. I'm not serving him just so I can go to heaven. Amen. I'm not worried about just waiting until I get ready to die and pray through. Amen. I've got some children I'm deeply interested in. Amen. I've seen my one go the way of alcoholism. I trust and I feel like he prayed to before he died. But at the same time, amen, I don't want them to look at dad and see me as a bad example, amen, of a man that followed the lust of the flesh. Christ. I'm trying to preach you this morning. It's worthwhile to be in that vineyard and spend long hours in there and long days in there, because you're not living to yourself and you're not going to die to yourself. You need to realize, folks, the reason why we need to go to church, be faithful, be on time, set a good example. The world may see what you're doing for God. I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to preach. Hallelujah. These are some of the things that will be lost in the 11th hour, saints. Amen. They will be lost. Just a few days ago, I preached a funeral of a young man, 44 years old. I had him in church when he was a boy. I've been friends of his family. His mother and dad were Pentecostal preachers in days gone by. Not his mother and dad, grandmother and grandfather. And so I knew him. I know him. And so they called me one to preach his funeral. And I used this scripture that I'm talking about here, about every man received his penny. They said he'd been reading his Bible. They said he'd been sending his tithes to some preacher. I don't know. But that don't save you. You know that don't save you. But it gives you some hope. Amen. And I told them, when I got down to the end of it, I said, look, preaching, I said, look, I know that you can get into the 11th hour. And I realized that I'm almost 83 years old. But I said, the reason why that I'm glad that I stayed in the vineyard, because if I'd went the way I was going when I was a young man, me and my wife had first married, if I'd went that way, amen, I would have broken up my home. If I'd went that way, I would have broken up my children if we'd had any born, because I was going in a way that was going to not, I couldn't have done it. And I said, when I got in the service, I said, I couldn't have made it. Amen. I couldn't have made it. I had no way if I'd have been lost, but I was saved when I went in the service. Amen. Yes, you have to put up a few things there. You have to put up a few things. Yeah. Amen. I didn't suffer a lot. But I had some persecution when I was in service, but not a lot. Oh, the times of refreshing. The time when you realize, amen, you sit in the church and you look down on your lap and there's that little blonde-headed girl, and you realize you want her to grow up to be work for the Lord. Amen. And she grew up, and amen, all of her life she read her Bible every day and prayed every day. Amen. She sacrificed. She gets out and she goes and visits those little children. Their mamas and daddies are on dope and drinking, and some of them, they go there and the electricity's been shut off, the water's shut off. Amen. They don't have any food. They don't have any clothes. And she goes and buys some clothes and brings them to church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Aren't I glad that I didn't backslide when I was in the service? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I had that little blonde-headed girl sitting on my lap in church, I thank God for that. I know those four fellas, I don't think I appreciated it, because both of those men who were sons that sat there, three of them rather, that sat in there, amen, they were men that was raised under their mom and daddy, but they chose to go the way of the world. And every one of them sitting there, amen, their children were estranged a lot from them, and their wives were gone, and they just living with them, and they didn't look, I was saying, but brother, I was happy to tell them, amen, I'm glad I live for the Lord because of what the benefits have been for my family. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm about done. So why did the master give the 11th hour workers the same? He said the last will be first and the first will be last. Hallelujah. Just before this, you remember they had that rich young ruler? I always like to think about him, because I make mention of him often, because in my mind, if he accepted the Lord's call, instead of reading Paul, an apostle, to the church at Galatia, you've been reading the poor rich man to the church of Galatia. But because of his riches, he went away with great sorrow. And Peter said, we've left all. What do we have, therefore? You know, I've thought about that. Peter said, we're not rich, but we might have been rich. And you brothers, preachers, you might have been rich. We have left all. What do we have for it? He said, when we come to the regeneration, in other words, when I sit on the throne of my glory and I've restored all things, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he said that to them, and he told them, though, and I think I'm right on this, if I remember right, after he told them that, but he said, remember this. Amen. He said, you shall sit on 12 tribes of Israel. And he said, but many of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Peter, there'll be people while you're slaving that'll go on and meet the Lord that didn't slave near as long as you did. But you just keep on working for me. Hallelujah. I was down with Brother Mike Roberts, and I told him about Benny. Benny was 79 years old. And Benny had called me one time years ago. We were friends, his wife's cousin. And he called me and wanted me to come talk to him. And we prayed with him. He got saved. Him and his wife and his little children all going to church. But then the devil got in, destroyed the home, and destroyed the children. One boy drowned. He is a young man. He wasn't a boy. Another young man, his pistol fell out, shot him and killed him, they said. All right, so it's kind of, you know. Anyway, and Benny decided there was no God. And Benny got cancer. And so I went to see him. And I said, Benny, I'd like to have prayer. He said, it won't do no good. I said, well, it'll do me some good. And he said, okay, I'll let you, you know. So I prayed, shook his hand, hugged him. Like I said, we were friends. So I went back to see him from time to time, and I'd have prayer. It won't do no good, but I'd pray. And then I went down there one day, and I said, Benny, I'd like to have prayer. No God, you know, no answer to prayer. But he said, okay. So I knelt down and prayed. When I got up and hugged him that time, I saw a little tear running down his cheek, and I was encouraged. The next time I heard from him, he was in the hospital. And I went over to see him, and I was coming the next day down to Virginia to preach for Brother Mike. And I walked in and talked to him, and I said, Charles said, they're going to tell me in the morning what I've got to expect. I said, well, I'll be praying for you. So I left, and the next morning I went back over. I think we left the same day and came down here. Went by to see him. When I walked in, his lips were quivering. And the doctor told me, said, I just had a very few days. I said, Benny, don't you think it's time to pray? And he said, Charles, I've been praying all night. So I went praying with him. And pretty soon, I feel I'm saved. Hallelujah. 11th hour. Now, here's the rest of the story on that. I came down to preach this. He died while I was down here, but I preached his funeral. He wanted me to preach his funeral. I chose this scripture out here about the 11th hour, and here's what I said. Those men standing there in the 11th hour, they weren't just there for themselves. They were people that had a responsibility on their shoulders. Amen. If it's young boys, they'd just been took off, but they needed to work. They had family at home and children going to be hungry if they didn't go home with some money that night. And the Lord knew that. That's the reason why I gave him his full wages, so that they have something to take home with them that night. Hallelujah. Feed those hungry babies, and mom would be happy. We got a few more days. The Lord supplied the need. And I said, the reason why God saves men, Benny, at the 11th hour, is because he knows your family and you need something that he's got to offer you. Salvation. Hallelujah. God don't just save on the 11th hour just for that person. He's saving for those that are around that person to let them know whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. That thrilled my heart just to thinking about it. Amen. Just thrilled my heart to realize that God said, put it in his book. I'm going to pay them the same, because there's those that they're under their influence that they need to help take care of. And so the thief on the cross probably beat the thief at the well. Hallelujah. To glory. Don't you imagine? He certainly beat Peter and the rest of him. But I'll tell you what. It may have been when everybody's walking by and cursing and spitting on those thieves because of the bad things they'd done to their family. There might have been a wife or some children standing over there and heard Jesus say, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And they thought, if he's that good, I believe I'll follow him. I believe I'll go his way. Stand with you, please. Stand if you would, please. Amen. Hallelujah. Thief on the cross had stole money and everything else. The thief at the well had stolen men, probably. But God saved both. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And God will save you. And if you've been struggling this morning, I'd like to tell you that the Lord will help you. And if you're here and you haven't been living for the Lord, I'd like to tell you that God loves you and he wants to save you. You may not just have but a few days to live, but it'll do something to your family when they see how gracious God is to you. Let us sing some good song. Brother, get something ready. And let's give an altar call and give people a chance to pray and seek the Lord. Amen. We need to pray and seek the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you don't have no reason except you know somebody in your family, they're getting up in years and they don't know God. Perhaps it'd be good just to find a place in the altar and say, "Lord, would you visit them? Would you let them know if they'll get to work for you right now, they'll get a penny." Right. It may be just hours that they got. It may be like the thief on the cross, but there's a reward for calling upon his name. Isn't God gracious, right. Huh? Yes, he is. Isn't he good to us? Yes. And I love the way he puts things in his book to encourage us to realize I'm not. When I say the first shall be last and the last shall be first, many are called, few are chosen. It doesn't matter how close they are to death. Amen. They may beat you across, but you've had all those wonderful experiences through the years with me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'd hate to say, well, if God saves them, what's the use of me being living for God? What in the world? Don't you appreciate the vineyard? Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate the vineyard? Huh? That's as bad as they were. Hallelujah. If God saves them, I'm going to keep on living for God. I'm going to be encouraged to live for God. Because it might be my son, my mother, my father, my wife, or somebody along the road, amen, that goes through sin and all of a sudden they come down and they start to die and they look at me and they say, "Look, I see you've held on. I'm going to turn. I'm going to turn. I'm going to turn." There was a lady in Joplin, Missouri. She had a church. Now, you may not believe in women preachers, and I'm not saying for again. I'm just saying it's there, okay? And she did good work. She's a holiness woman. Amen. And her husband left her. Got him a wife, I think a younger wife. For years, lived and just was an embarrassment to her. Shamed or what have you. But then I don't know what happened to his other wife, but this husband, I think, got cancer. He come down to die. And guess who went to take care of him? Sister Napper. Took care of him like he'd been the most faithful man on earth. Hallelujah. Could I say if he got in at the 11th hour, it was because somebody remained faithful in the vineyard. Hallelujah. Sing, would you please? We're open the altar. If you feel like praying, come right on. Praise the Lord. Well, if you don't feel like praying, you probably ought to come. But anyway, let's pray, would you? Let's pray. Hallelujah.